Good morning, everybody. Let's go ahead and have a meditation. What do you say? Take a breath and let's focus on our candles today. I always like candles offer an opportunity for an open eye meditation. If you so choose, I invite you to focus on these candles as I speak, as we go into our moment of silence, but to allow these flames to inspire you. To warm your thoughts. So take a breath. Let's go in and let's go up. Let's go all the way up in our consciousness, up to the top of ourselves, the highest point of ourselves. For me, I always like to affirm at the highest point of my being, that the Christ in me is awake now. For what is the Christ in me? It's not a person. It doesn't represent a person. It represents my light. The Christ in me is awake now. And the Christ awakened in me now lets me see what is. The Christ in me. And so, as I say, the Christ in me is awake now. I invite anyone and everyone whose lives, whose thoughts could be made better, to say it along with me. The Christ in me is awake now. The memory of God in me is awake now. The light in me is awake now. The memory of good is awake now. I remember what is. In this time of awakening, I put my stories aside and I remember. I remember the truth of our being. I remember the truth of existence. I remember health. I remember wealth. And I remember what they truly are. Even though I have no words to give them, for words would limit them. I remember what they are, and therefore I live in the realization of what God is, of what love is, of what power is, of what presence is, of what peace is, of what joy is, of what health is, of what wealth is, of what my body is, of what my home is, of what my relationships is, of what is, I remember because the Christ in me is awake now. And so I invite this awakening to touch every cell, every tissue, every fiber of my being. Awakening this body that I am currently using to experience the realization of oneness with what I call God. And so the Christ awakened in me fills every cell, every tissue, every fiber of my being, from head to toe, from toe to head. There is no part of me that my oneship with God is not. There is no part of me that my realization of my oneness with my source is not. For every part of me is aware of my oneship with my source. Every part of my being is now aware of my oneship with my source. Take that thought into the silence. Every part of me is aware of my oneship with my source. Let's go on in with that thought, please. Every part of me, every single part of me, head to toe, toe to head, is now aware, once again, of my oneship with my source. My oneship with every aspect of what God is. Presence itself, power itself, intelligence itself. So knowing this, let's start our journey back here. Back here to this sanctuary, this place called unity. And as we come back, let us come back refreshed, renewed, and fully aware of the good that has just taken place, so that we may say thank you and amen. Beautiful. I think we should go ahead and hear Kenneth. Hey, Kenneth, thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that a lot. So today's talk, today's message is called, Let It Begin With Me. Let it begin with me. And there's so much to be done. And so, of course, the thing is always how do I let it begin with me? And it's usually so simple, so very simple. We're trying to figure things out. We watch the news, and we have judgments, and we have opinions. Anybody? I watch the news minimally. I'll listen to 10-10 Wins to get the headlines. And because, let's face it, so much of it, the news is made up. Because they want to sell. You know, a news station, what they want to do is sell us. It's advertising. So that's why they sensationalize things in order to get us to watch it, to become hooked on it. You know, let's spin a story this way, and then let's spin it this way, and then we'll make our enemies over here and our friends over here, and we'll get our loyal followers here. We'll make the other people mad, and they'll go over there and watch the news over there. And it's crazy making. It's just crazy making. And this is the month of the 4th of July. You know, it's a month traditionally to celebrate our country, to celebrate freedom, to celebrate. And what we all don't realize is we are free to think. We are free to think whatever it is we want to think. And that just doesn't seem to register. So I'm going to read a couple of things here, perhaps to help. First, I'm going to start with the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament, Luke chapter 6. And I love that because, you know, our Bible is a guide. And a lot of people take the Bible as the ultimate authority. But listen to this. What Spirit says here in verse 12, do not be bothered with the names of the apostles in one book of the New Testament, or do not be bothered that the names of the apostles in one book of the New Testament do not match up with the names of the apostles in another book. These details are not important because these details are meaningless. The apostles are but symbols which represent everyone, and so there is no difference between one apostle and another, or between one man and you, or one woman and you, or one person and you. We're all followers of the path that comes from within. We're all guided to learn the truth by following the path of unreality. The world is a great temptation for you because the world was made as a distraction from truth. Everything in the world is not truth, and yet you want to make sense of it and make it real. Are y'all listening to me here? Everything in the world is not truth, and yet you want to make sense of it and make it real. No, I'm not yelling at you here. I do it myself. I catch myself in that kind of stuff a lot. But I want to keep catching myself in it so that I don't keep doing it. So everything in the world is not truth, and yet you want to make sense of it, keep it real. Let's face it. How many of us have spoken about political figures as if they are an ultimate authority, the ones we like and the ones we don't like? And I'm not talking politics here. I'm talking about political figures. They are two different things. And you know, one person, oh, this one, he's crazy. He does this. You know what he's thinking. You know what? It's like, no, you don't. You don't know what they're thinking. And if they're crazy, then why are you worried about them? And so we have to look and say, oh, wait a minute. What is my source? What is that person's source? Do I believe in God or don't I? Do I believe in God or don't I? Okay, so let's keep it going here. We are all followers of the path that comes from within. We are all guided to learn the truth by following the path of unreality. Okay, the world is a great temptation because the world was made as a distraction from truth. I mean, even the weather we use as a distraction from truth, and we don't have to keep doing it. To the degree that you can let go of the world and not be concerned about it, that is to the degree that you accept healing, and to the degree that you are involved in the world and taking care of its many problems, that is to the degree that you reject healing as the answer to its problems. A wonderful minister of unity, Bob Brock, is his name, and he says you cannot adjust yourself to your environment without first adjusting yourself to the source of your being. Think about the source of your being. You cannot adjust yourself to this, we'll call it insane world, without adjusting ourselves to the source of our being. And it seems logical, yet we find ourselves constantly trying to adjust ourselves to our environment without first adjusting ourselves to God, because God is the source of all being. Now, that word God covers, well, we might say that God covers a multitude of sin sometimes, because we do, it says here we sin against God, but all that means is we make error thinking, we have error thinking towards God by having a wrong concept of God. And millions of people have a wrong concept of God. Are you one of them? Am I one of them? I've worked diligently over the years to shift my concept of God, to expand it rather than limit it, to have less definition of God than ever before. I can tell you that God is love, but what does that mean? I know love is a good thing, but love encompasses a lot. And it's a principle, encompasses a lot. And I know God is principle and God is love, but I still can't tell you exactly what that means. I can't define it for you. Mr. Brock says, we must know that God is spirit and that God is mind, that God is that omnipresent principle out of which every thought comes and every act, and that man is the man or person is the expression of this infinite mind. Now, if you get that clear and begin to use your thought and that spirit of inspiration in you, which makes you are what you are, why, you will see just how you will adjust yourself, and that spirit of knowing, which belongs primarily to everyone, will begin to flash in our consciousness. So the one primal thought, or the primal office of thought, he says, is to carry out the divine law. Our thought puts into expression ideas. Now, how can you produce ideas and thoughts that will make this peaceful mind? You will say, by following the law. I must observe the commandments. Now, where do you go to find those commandments? Well, funny, the Bible. The Bible is where we go to find those commandments. But as we just read, the Bible is written by people. The Bible is meant to be a guide to take us in. That's really what the Bible is for. It's because the Bible, every person metaphysically, every person in the Bible represents myself. And that's a lot of people going on in here. And so to look at that, to look at that, if all that represents me, that means the actual answer is within me. It's not that. So I go to the Bible as a guide, but I do not go to the Bible as my source. And a lot of people resent the Bible because the Bible has been misused by so many people, and really offering children limited thinking rather than expanded and magnificent thinking. And so to look at that, okay, so I don't want to be mad at the Bible anymore. How about that? I don't want to be mad at the Bible, and I don't want to worship the Bible. Think of that in terms of your world. I don't want to be mad at people anymore, and I don't want to worship people anymore. To look at, oh my goodness, there's our freedom. There is our freedom. And we're in this country where we're told originally we are offered freedom. Now, you will see people who seem to want to take our freedom away from us in one form or another, or in many ways. But you see, they do that because they're frightened. What if we stop being mad at the people who are frightened? The people who think that limiting other people will make them safer. What if we work towards releasing our fury at these people? At these people who have limited ways of thinking currently. And we begin to pray differently about them. What if? Wouldn't that be a lovely thing? If we became willing that all beings become joy-filled. Why? Because joy-filled people don't hurt other people. So we've got to first align ourselves with the God of our being and say, oh, within the God of my understanding, can I be joy-filled? if I choose to be, if I want to be? Can I be joy-filled no matter what anybody else is doing, no matter what anyone else is thinking? Can I be joy-filled? Because you see, if I can, now I'm creating peace in earth, and I'm letting it begin with me. And I put that in the quote today, let there be peace in earth, and let it begin with me. Charles Fillmore, when he did the Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, and it says, thy will is done in earth. In earth, it says, of me, because the earth here represent my body represents the earth. You know, it's where my foundation is. It's where my thinking is. It's everything. My body. It's not the ground I walk on. It's my body. It's my body is my earth, because it's holding currently my soul. It's holding all my thoughts. And so let there be peace in earth, and let it begin with me. That song, Let There Be Peace on Earth, which we heard at the beginning, and the children sang it in its traditional lyrics, which is terrific. But to look at that, oh, let it begin with me. Let it begin with me. Let peace begin with, I thought peace was supposed to begin with the government. I thought peace was supposed to begin with my neighbors who are upsetting me. I thought peace was supposed to begin with my money. I thought peace was supposed to begin with my body. I thought peace was supposed to begin with you. Even though I've been singing that song since I was a kid, and I don't believe it's just an idealistic song. I believe that Let There Be Peace on earth is profound, because it says, let it begin with me. Wow. Let it begin with me. So when I hear someone say something that normally would disturb me, and I take a moment to think before I correct them, before I hate them, to think, how could I create peace on earth with this upsetting moment right now? How could I see this differently? How could I? Well, I have to go within and get right with God, align with the God of my being, align with my source. My source is peace, and say, okay, so is there something to be said right now that we create peace in earth, in all beings? Is there something that I could think, say, and do that could create that? Because sometimes we go to someone with complete intentions of creating peace, and we are rejected. And that's okay. That has to be okay. And it's not personal. You know, unless we, you know, if we get a rejection from when we go towards making peace, we need to first go within and say, okay, did I phrase that in an inappropriate way? Did I abandon principle when I went to them? Was I just for a personal gain, so I don't have to feel uncomfortable anymore? What was it? Or did I do everything just perfectly in spirit, but they're not ready to hear it yet? They're so frightened of it in their journey, their human journey, their human journey, but also in their spiritual journey. And so would I be willing to love them through their seeming rejection of me? Would that be a possibility? I would like it to be a possibility. In fact, I know it's a possibility. What I would like it myself to be willing, and I'm like to invite others to join me in this journey of creating peace in earth and on earth, and letting it begin with us. But even if you don't, those of you I invite today, I still have to do it. And that's why sometimes this journey is a lonely journey, because it feels like nobody wants to be on it with me. You know, when I hear the most spiritual of us screaming about any given president from the beginning to now, screaming. And so looking at that, and would I be willing to stop screaming? Thank you, Laverne. I'm glad to see that. Could I stop screaming and start listening? Start listening. How could I communicate? How can I, first of all, how can I hear this and know that God is present? And how can I communicate to this being and this being and this being? You know, I'm blessed with a platform because I'm Reverend Sean Moninger now. And so I'm blessed with a platform. I'm the one on the screen right now, and I get to talk about this stuff. And I teach classes, or I facilitate classes. You know, our Tuesday morning class is splendid. We're reading some of the old literature and re-exploring it and how to apply it and being honest with ourselves and with each other. Sometimes I get very involved in the news and I begin to think these things that aren't true. Because you see, if we sit alone too much in our apartment, and many of us have had to for the past couple of years, and we start to tell ourselves that things that we think are true that just aren't true. All beings are God beings. Let's start with that. All beings are God beings, no matter how they behave. All beings are God beings. What was it? Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. Cain was a God being, even though he's fictional. But that's a story. It's not history. But Cain would be considered a God being, even though he killed his brother. And this is tough stuff. How are we going to end, or how am I going to bring about peace? I won't bring about peace by ending war. I won't bring about peace by wiping out or annihilating people who aren't peaceful. I will, in fact, you know, there are people on this planet now who would like to annihilate, you know, various races, various religions, various sexuality. They would like to annihilate many of us, and then they think they could have peace. Now, clearly that is wrong. It's downright stupid, but it's, people believe it. There are people who just believe if we can get rid of these people. And that's been going on since the beginning of time. If I get rid of this one, you know, the story of Cain killing his brother Abel, Cain thought, oh, if I get rid of Abel, then I'll be at peace. Then I'll have everything. And of course, that is not what happened. And it continues to this day. A person killing another person never brings peace. Even when we have killed what we called evil people, it did not bring peace. It just opened the way for another problem that's been sitting there dormant for a while. And what's been going on the past couple of years around here is an issue that has been lying dormant for quite some time has come to light. And it's up to us, I still tell you, and it's up to me to love these beings, to embrace these beings, maybe not with a physical hug, but pray, Christ in me beholds the Christ in you. I am willing to know, to witness the Christ coming forth in you now. I'm willing to witness the light coming forth in you now, because I am willing to let the light come forth from me now. I'm willing to let the Christ come forth from me now. It's okay to talk about in church. I don't know. I was in my Pennsylvania last week for a funeral for my someone I know died. We'll leave it at that for now. And I was in a 12-step healing group meeting last Sunday night, and it turns out I was sitting next to a group of insurrectionists from January 6th. Now, I have my opinions about those people, because to me, they were on a path to kill. They were on a path to hurt. They were not on a path to peace. And yet, I'm thinking, okay, God, tell me about these people. Because I'm sitting here, we're both here in the name of healing, and I need to know how to love them rather than judge them. I don't want to fear them. I want to embrace them. I know there is a great longing to know God in all of us. There is a great longing to know Spirit in all of us. Some of us have been mistrained in our religion and our spirituality to think that we should get rid of the sinners. And so therefore it means wipe them out, as opposed to transform their thinking. That's how we get rid of sinners, is by lifting our own selves up out of our own errors, forgiving ourselves for our errors. Remember, sin is just an error. That's all it is. It is a forgetting of God. It is a forgetting of our divinity. That's all that a sin is. We don't need to make a big deal out of the word. I know the word scares us because of old-time religion, but we're here now today. Let's stop worrying about yesterday and what we were mistaught. Let's start thinking about today. Sin, it's not a big deal. The word is not a big deal. So we don't have to be afraid of using it. You know, I'm not going to go out and tell you you sinned, because really, why start that mess? But I don't even tell myself I sinned. I say, oh, I made a mistake. Oops. I found out I was wrong. Oops. Thank goodness I found out. And when it is safe for me to realize, oh, I was mistaken, I can then be the example for others to wake up to the peace. Oh, that's all it is I was mistaken. I was wrong, and it's not a big deal. Nobody's likely to hit me for it. Nobody's likely to shame me for it. Well, probably not. If one can be okay, then what power does anyone else have to shame me? Because I made a mistake. You know, we might make fun of each other, but hopefully it's in love. And so, in letting it begin with me, what does that mean today? You know, David and I are we have a new affirmation in our house, and it says, I wonder what wonderful surprises God has in store for us today. And therefore, that sets us up to look at the day as something wonderful that has wonderful surprises in it. And it could be finding out I was mistaken about something. It could be a pot of cash. I don't know. But I wonder what wonderful surprises God, G-O-D, has in store for me today. That means I need to keep my focus on God. It means I need to keep my focus on truth and wisdom and light and love. It means I have to let the day begin with me. And I don't have to figure it out. I heard somebody say yesterday, the slogans of healing, there's no slogan that says figure it out. And I laughed when I heard that. So to look at our day, to look at our life, to look at our body, to look at our behaviors and just be present with them rather than judgmental with them, rather than opinionated with them. Yeah, we're going to have opinions, but hopefully they will pass quickly because we have a greater desire to know the truth of our being. That part, we have a greater desire to know that part of us which is not going to change. And imagine having a desire to know that part of those others. You know who I mean? To know the part of them that can't change because it's their God nature, because it's their life nature. And to let that be revealed to you. To let that be shown to you. I'm going to read another little passage here from the Holy Spirit's interpretation. And it's from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And it says, your viewpoint is everything. The way you look at the world determines the world you see. And some of us would say, well, that's what the world's showing me. And I was like, no, it isn't. It absolutely is not showing me. It's not showing me anything except what I'm thinking. So the world shows me what I think. When I walk down the street, every thought I'm having, I'm creating. The world isn't creating it for me. So the way you look at the world determines the world that you see. Therefore, it is time for you to look carefully at the way you look at the world. It is time to realize that you are the maker of all that you see. And one could say, oh, that car just had an accident. Are you saying I created that? And I'll say, no, but you created how you think of it. You created how you determined. You created what it means to you. You create that. And then if you go telling everybody what you think, you create that experience too for yourself. Verse 7 says, peace is the guiding light that you must follow. As you learn to look within the mind, for it is peace that leads you to recognition of truth. And it is lack of peace that reminds you that you are not following your way. Do you hear that? It is lack of peace that you are not following your way. So you see, it's not somebody else's fault that you're not at peace. You haven't built up the supply of peace within you today. And that's your job, and that's my job. Let it begin with me. Peace is your guide, because in peace, you accept the power of God as it is, and you enjoy its flow. Peace is gentle gratitude. Peace is love for all that is. Listen within for the gentle guidance of peace. It is quiet but easy to hear. So Kenneth is about to sing another song, and I want to talk about this for a quick moment. A couple of weeks ago, for 4th of July, Independence weekend, I was doing a talk, and I wanted, I really, there's something about the Battle Hymn of the Republic I like, but I think it's more the music than the lyrics that I like a lot. But I thought it's Independence Day, and that Battle Hymn of the Republic, I believe, was actually written for the Civil War. I called David Friedman. Those who don't know, we live together. And I called David at home and I said, would you rewrite this for me? And I sent him the original lyrics, told him what I was interested. I wanted a unity version of the Battle Hymn of the Republic. And 20 minutes later, he sent me a new lyric that I think is splendid. And I asked Kenneth to sing it that Sunday. And I've asked Kenneth to sing it again today. So gang, I thank you all for listening to me. I hope it makes sense. By all means, write to me. You have questions, RevMrSean@gmail.com. Write to me. And if I can help you with any more clarity on how peace can begin with you, so that peace prevails in your life. Yeah, by all means, reach out to me. And Kenneth, let's hear it.
And so can everyone. The truth.